Hello, Craig. Happy 420.
Let's do it.
Woo! It's 420 episode. This is the 420 spectacular.
Happy birthday, Weed.
Are we going to take like 100 milligram Death Star right now? I'm sorry. We're not in California. We can't get those here.
That shit's real. Episode 79. This is our second annual 420 The Weed Spectacular. And I think we should kick it off with Shane said he wanted to tell a story about the first time he took edibles, so I think this is perfect.
Yeah, this is the first time I ever did weed. My friends and I were hanging out. I think I'm like 26 at this point, so I'm like way past the point of like when you should be doing drugs. We're hanging out at my friend's house, and he's like, oh, we're doing edibles. And I was like, ah, man, that's like kind of weird. Like, they're like, just fucking take it, dude. We're just hanging out. We're going to watch a movie. I was like, all right, cool. No big deal. We pop them. I look at the package. I was like, this says 100 milligrams. They're like, yeah, for the package. I was like, no, it says 1,000. So each of these is 100. And they're like, oh, well, we're here now. So we did like the normal thing, right, where we're just hanging out. It was like 45 minutes, and you do the dumbass rookie mistake of, this is fine. I'll take some more. So I had like a bite of a Rice Krispie, like a Jolly Rancher. So I think I had like an accumulation of like 115 to 120 milligrams. I stand up to go to the bathroom, dude. I'm like, oh, this is really, really bad. And then I'm just sitting there watching the movie, and I start panicking because like I'm a little weird where I like to shower twice a day. So okay. I just start freaking the fuck out because we're downstairs, and I'm like, I need to shower. but I'm so scared to go upstairs because I'm afraid I'm gonna like Mr. Bean it and just fall down and break my neck that I sat there for like 25 minutes debating with myself, and my friend's like, just go get your shit and shower. And so I literally walk upstairs, get my stuff to come downstairs to shower, and then I fucking feel like I'm in the shower for like an hour and a half. It was like 6 minutes. I go back upstairs to put my clothes away, come back down, sit down, and I'm like, did I take a shower? And they're like, yeah, and you wouldn't shut up about it for the last 35 minutes. Then we go to bed. I wake up in the morning feeling like I'm a little weed hungover or whatever. I stand up and I'm like, oh, I'm still high.
Hell yeah.
And then we go to the car dealership to pick up my friend's car at the end of the day because she was getting service. This is like Black Friday weekend. And like, I felt like I was in a music video as we're on the freeway because like,
sure,
just like my brain thinking I'm going to be like this forever. And we end up sitting on this bench, not on the bottom part, but at the top part, like you're in high school, but we didn't know behind us was the sales office. So it's just all the salespeople behind us. Me and my friend just giggling, being complete idiots in public. And then the guy comes out and he's like, hey, can we help you? And we just like panic. We're like, oh, car service. And he's like, uh-huh. And my buddy had like the Pokemon Go thing on his thing. And the guy's like, what's that? He's like, it's Pokemon Go. And the guy's like, oh, that's cool. My name is X. And my buddy had the same name. And he's like, how the fuck does he know my name? And then they honked the car and were like, we got to go. And then I had the worst pokey of my life because it was a textural nightmare. And that's my first edible story.
That's crazy.
That's wonderful. That's a great way to start our show.
Tony, did you do anything exciting yesterday?
Nope.
Outside of just, you know, getting pretty high.
It was a regular Thursday.
I did. Yeah. I almost watched two Ernest movies.
Okay, I was actually going to ask you, when you were trying to stand up and go take a shower, do you think that's how the character Ernest feels when trying to do anything?
No, that was how the character from Ernest Scared Stupid the Monster was made.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, because there's two ones on YouTube, because I ended up watching Bubble Boy instead. But there's
Bubble Boy, classic.
It's Ernest Goes to School and then Ernest Slam Dunk or whatever it is.
Yep.
I'm trying to remember Ernest Goes to School. I don't know if I remember that one.
I did find a movie for you, Ryan, since you like action movies. It's a bad action movie, but it's also a very wild ride. It's Fantastic Mr. No Legs.
I enjoy, you know, shitty action movies too, because you can make fun of them. So this one's called, say it again.
Fantastic Mr. No Legs.
Fantastic Mr. No
Legs. I'll send you the link because you can only buy it on Amazon for $25. It is not on any streaming.
$25? When was this made?
1978. This is how I found it because I was looking through shit in 1978 for our episode and I was like, we missed it. I'll hit it on the next episode. But yeah.
Okay.
It's about a a mob enforcer who has no legs, but he has shotguns attached to his wheelchair.
Ooh, that's freaking awesome.
you found Ryan's soft spot.
That's so all right. Cool.
Ryan, do you have a 79? Do you have a shorty you want to start us with?
Yeah, sure. I can start with a shorty.
All right.
Let's talk about someone 6'5", 280 pounds.
Big boy.
Guess what? He's a guard.
Nice.
He's a guard. Number 79, Bill Frelick.
Okay.
Was from Pennsylvania, like most, you know, big offensive and defensive linemen.
Every lineman.
I don't know what it is about the water in Pennsylvania, but they turn out some really good football players.
Big boys.
Yep. I wanted to talk about this guy. It was because you guys love wrestling. And in 1986, he was one of six football players in a 20-man battle royale at WrestleMania II.
With like
which,
other dudes.
We gotta watch this.
In which Andre the Giant was the victor. So yeah, I kinda do wanna watch it.
I love how Tony and I have talked about this separately at points, and we have not mentioned who the winner of that match was.
Yeah. That's what we'll do next week. We will watch the Battle Royal from WrestleMania 2.
Yeah, let's do that. How do you find that?
I got you.
We'll find it. Don't worry about it.
So after that, he briefly returned to the World Wrestling Federation to participate in the Stars and Stripes Challenge aboard the USS Intrepid, trying to body slam the this is a wrestler I remember, too. The 555-pound WWF champion, Yokozuna.
Yeah, the Polynesian man that was playing.
I'm guessing his attempt at the body slam didn't work out. But
Lex Luger did it, though.
Lex Luger, yeah.
He was a brief commentator for the Falcons from 95 to 97. He did actually Pittsburgh Panther, the college broadcast from 2004 to 2010. He was known for the pancake block because he was just really good at it, I guess. Drafted in 1985 NFL draft by the Falcons. He was an immediate starter in his rookie season. All pro 86 and 87. But yeah, the main stuff I saw about him was just all that wrestling stuff. It intrigued me.
It's a cool little small world.
I'm pretty sure he was on the offense, Ryan, of those Falcons teams that were really bad but had, like, the best defense in football that was called the Grits Blitz.
Yeah, we briefly, I think, talked about that.
Yeah, the Grits Blitz, baby. That was a whole fucking thing. But
What year was he on the Falcons? Sorry.
The 80s, right?
He was drafted 85, so okay. From 85 to, like, the early 90s.
Because my guy is a late 70s Falcons.
Really? What the hell?
Let's go. Let it ride. Let's go.
All right.
All right, so I'm going off beat because we're getting really weird this week. Because the NFL is also getting really weird with prospects of who are being taken to Atlanta. So my 79 is the 79th pick of the 1979 NFL draft, William Andrews. Two names, okay. Maybe. So sure. I'm just going to basically stat dump. He doesn't really have anything like supremely interesting on his personal life, which is usually like my angle, my bit. But dude is a powerhouse of running back, and I think he should get his recognition as being like a PPR god. So Andrews played at Auburn and was primarily used as a blocking back, like most big boys. Volume is king, and he saw an immediate impact on the Falcons as he was drafted in 1979. In his debut game, he rushed for 167 yards and one touchdown. Andrews would end his rookie season with 239 carries, 39 catches for a total of 1,300 all-purpose yards with 8 touchdowns. This would have him named to the all-rookie team.
I'd hope so.
In his next season, Andrew would help lead the Falcons to 12-4, winning the NFC West. He finished the season with 1,760 all-purpose yards, averaging 4.9 yards per carry with 51 total catches. So the PPR was flowing through Andrews before PPR was a thing.
Damn.
This would be the first time he was selected to the Pro Bowl, starting a run of four Pro Bowls in a row from 1980 to 1983. Even through the 1981 season, even though the 1981 season wasn't the best for the Falcons, Andrews exploded with his career average, his best career stats at the time of 1,300 rushing yards, 730 receiving yards on 81 catches with 22 total touchdowns.
81 catches.
Yeah, he basically played two positions, what we think Sean Tucker can be.
That's fucking CMC right there.
Andrews had the fourth most receptions out of any player in 1981 behind Hall of Famer Kellen Winslow, Dwight Clark, and Ted Brown. Seven catches separated Andrews from Winslow.
Damn.
Andrews kept on trucking through the NFL, finishing second in yards from scrimmage in a shortened season when there was a strike, I believe.
Yes.
Leading the Falcons again to the postseason. In 1983, Andrews had reached the peak of statistical consistency by breaking his personal best of all-purpose records with 2,176 rushing yards, coming from 1,567 yards rushing, catching 59 passes for 609 yards. He finished second in yards per game with an average of 97.9, which would lead him to being all-pro for the first time in his career.
Damn.
Unfortunately, football is a cruel game, and Andrews would suffer a bad knee injury that would sideline him for 2 years. He ultimately would return in 1986 for one last season where he basically played tight end. The injury stuck as he only ran for 214 yards on 52 attempts and retired in 1986.
They played on the same team.
It all fucking circles back together.
Damn. That's fucking wild.
So Andrews was basically the definition of running angry, as San Francisco 49ers Ronnie Lott would admit that a head-on collision with Williams was the hardest hit he ever suffered in the NFL. There's a clip on YouTube if you look them both up. Basically, they run at full speed, and William just crushes Lott as he's hitting 75% acceleration, and Lott just basically crumbles over him, and Andrews just keeps on going to take two more hits.
Okay.
Andrews was in the top four of total scrimmage yards four times in basically 6 years of playing in the NFL. He was named to the Falcons Player of the Year 1981 and 83. He had his jersey retired in 2004 and was inducted into the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame and the Falcons Ring of Honor. But
damn.
In TH Fantasy fashion, Andrews was it's the week. We're all a little feeling it. In true TH Fantasy fashion, Andrews was arrested for civil contempt charge stemming from child support issues.
Hey, he's arrested. Boo, 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 boo.
That's William Andrews.
William Andrews. Hey. That's like, I don't even know who that is, man.
I didn't either. And I was like, I was amazed. I was like, how has nobody talked about this guy? Just putting up these insane numbers.
Yeah, right. First game, 167 yards. That's nuts.
Right.
Who was that? Do you know, Shane, who was that against?
I think it was the Saints.
The Saints?
Yeah. I can look that up, though.
All right. So I'm going to do my 79. It's a guy from a pretty famous football family. He's got a rockin' ass mullet and a pretty famous career after football.
Excellent.
So today we're going to talk about Bob Golic.
Nice.
Bob Golic was born in Cleveland in 1957 to a father who was an accomplished Canadian football player. His dad actually won the Grey Cup with the Hamilton Tiger Cats in 1957. So go Ticats.
That's your team, baby.
My girlfriend's from Hamilton, so shout out to the Ticats. So his brother is Mike Golic, the ESPN radio host with Golic and Green from back in the day. And his nephew was an undrafted free agent who was on Pittsburgh in the preseason, whatever. So Bob Golic was a dominant defensive end in high school, and he went and played college ball at Notre Dame before being drafted by New England in round two of 1979 as a linebacker. He got cut after 3 years and went to Cleveland, where he got put in as a nose tackle. As a nose tackle, he becomes a Pro Bowler three times. He goes to the Raiders as what was called a Plan B free agent. Just going to leave that there.
What does that mean?
I have no clue. It's because free agency in earnest hadn't really started yet, or it had just started. So he has a pretty accomplished career. He retires in 92. He has 22 sacks and two All-Pro nods in 13 years. So let's talk more about what he did after retirement, because this is the fun stuff. He was a guest star on an episode of the show Coach.
Yes.
Huh?
Excellent.
He played a former player that had gotten cancer from anabolic steroid use. This is why we're here, all right?
Like Lyle Zotto.
Exactly. His biggest role, though, is Mike Rogers, who was a former 49ers player who would become the dorm advisor for the kids on the TV show Saved by the Bell, the college years.
What?
So the rest of this is going to be more about Saved by the Bell than Golic's playing career. So let me talk a little shit about Saved by the Bell here.
Was he best friends with Screech?
Oh, well, we're going to talk about the Golic-Screech dynamic in a moment. Oh,
there's a Dustin Diamond connection?
Oh, you bet your ass, dude. The Saved by the Bell, the college years, was pretty much everyone from the show except for Elizabeth, whoever it was that played Jesse, and Lark Voorhees, who played Lisa.
Oh.
Zack Slater, Screech, Kelly. Kelly wasn't in the pilot, but when it got picked up, she, like, decided to go to college with them and, like, got into their suite.
Oh, this is a payday? I'm in.
Oh, dude, we got some shit. So I don't know about y'all, but, like, I loved Saved by the Bell as a kid, and it absolutely has not aged well.
No.
Maybe some of you or some listeners are familiar with the YouTube series Zach Morris's Trash from Funny or Die. It's the truth. Zach was a real piece of shit in high school. And it continues on in college. I will say there is a fan theory that the entire series takes place within Zach Morris's mind because he's like a lonely nerd who just wants to dream that he has all these like powers and friends.
But he's also the lead singer of a straight edge band because he says the line, "You smell that? It smells like weed." That every straight edge band has ever used on their t-shirts.
I remember seeing this band, I think they were called the Epoxies, open for Against Me in like 2004, and their bass player had the same exact like square 80s bass with no head that Lisa Turtle played on this episode. And I remember just yelling Lisa Turtle bass over and over again at this band person who clearly had no fucking clue what I was talking about. All right, so let's get some of the ridiculous shit out of the way, mainly with the premise here. So all the high school best friends in a six-person suite is fucking bullshit. All right. Kelly's got a weird relationship with one of their professors, like a romantic relationship with their anthropology professor. And Zach, like, eventually the way the season ends is he proposes to her in order to lock her down before she goes on a cruise because he's convinced she's just going to fall for some guy and he's never going to get to be with her again.
Yeah, this definitely took place in his mind.
Right? So Bob Golic plays the resident advisor, which is super awkward when you compare how much older and more mulleted he was than the group. And this is a group that includes 90s Mario Lopez. So saying that he's the most mulleted is I'm actually saying something here.
Right.
He gives Zach a lot of solid life advice. His highlight is his foil to Screech's random subplots, but honestly, he provides the only solid masculine role in the entire series. I know I watched all 19 episodes this week. He keeps Zach grounded. There's an episode where Mike isn't around and Zach throws a rave in an empty classroom to make enough money to go to Cancun. So in that case, Mike really dropped the ball on babysitting this grown ass adult. The show does focus more on more adult themes compared to the high school predecessor, like Kelly dating the professor as she turns down Zach's offer to go steady. He handles it by sabotaging their relationship because of course he does. And it was a lot of fun and creepy to watch a professor who is called old at the age of 32 go out with his 19-year-old student. Legal, but gross. Screech is going to get a tattoo to impress his frat brothers. But Mike responsibly talks him out of it by showing him and some of the other frat pledges his ass, which apparently has a Tweety Bird tattoo on it. He also, there's one episode where Screech fills in at the student union as a waiter and someone asks for a sandwich, like a baked chicken sandwich with toasted bread. And so he yells to the female cook that he's looking for a naked chick with hot buns. And obviously hilarity ensues until this poor woman is like, hey, that's sexual harassment. But Mike steps in and he rectifies it by showing her that Screech, he's a good guy, you know? And after all this that Mike does for Screech, you know how Screech pays Mike back? He tapes over his football highlight tape with a recording of Ren and Stimpy.
Damn.
Friends like these, right? The show only had one season since it got like garbage ratings. Absolutely garbage ratings. So they decide to, instead of doing a second season, they do a made-for-TV movie where Zach and Kelly get married in Vegas. Mike is reduced to a minor background role in the film, which I believe doesn't do justice to the leadership that he gave these PUDs for at least several years, right? So that is a Pro Bowler, a state champion, high school and college wrestler, and the only voice of reason for the Saved by the Bell crew. That is 79 Bob Golic.
Wow.
Did he have any work with Screech after the fact, like in that one movie that he made?
No, he did not. This is, okay. I believe their relationship was strictly professional.
He wasn't the cameraman in that instance.
Could have been, man. Could have been. Screech
by the Bell.
Was it the, yeah, and then Screech was in a band. Dustin Diamond passed away, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, he's. I think he's dead.
Shout out to Dustin Diamond. Shine on you, Dustin Diamond.
Do you think, I mean, this is really bad, but do you think that his, do you think that his family, you know, made one of those eternal diamonds with his,
with his ashes? See, I thought you were going to ask me, this is, I thought you were going to say, this is going to be really bad, but do you think he made it to heaven?
No, I wasn't going to go that bad.
The answer is no.
He was a pro wrestler too for a time.
Yep. Oh yeah.
I got one more shorty.
Let's go.
You know, keeping with the tradition of 420, I wanted to talk to about someone who advocates for the use of marijuana for pain management as opposed to opiates.
Sure.
In the NFL. A beast of a man. 6'6", 323 pounds.
Ooh.
Mr. Todd Harriman's.
Okay.
All right. Born in 1982, so he's just a little bit older than us, Tone.
There we go. There we go. Let's go.
He's obviously a guard, you know. Number 79. I'm really looking forward to the 80s, let me tell
yeah.
you.
Oh yeah.
I've been convinced right. that like big boys are your bread and butter. So I'm yeah. excited to see you tap into the fast guys.
Yeah, yeah. Went to a really no-name school for college, Saginaw Valley State.
But where is it, Ryan?
He's a Michigan native. It's okay. Saginaw.
Good to know. It's
Illinois. Damn.
He was actually not invited to the NFL scouting combine. And worked out for more than 24 NFL teams.
Wow.
Prior to the 2005 NFL draft. He was projected to be in the fifth or sixth round. He eventually ended up being drafted in the fourth round, 126th overall, by the Eagles.
Wow.
The Eagles traded up with the Green Bay Packers to choose him, giving away a fifth, sixth, and seventh round draft pick.
Wow.
Oof. I thought that was an interesting fact since we're talking draft a lot lately.
Fuck you, Aaron Rodgers.
That's like the Ricky Williams trade.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, played with the Eagles throughout most of his career. Ended up, he actually had two, offensive lineman touchdowns.
What? Yes,
big yeah. boy TD. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two, get this, two touchdowns for 3 yards.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he played with the Eagles most of his career and was released in 2015, but his 124 career starts over the course of 10 seasons ranked him 6th all-time among Eagles offensive linemen. And get this, Tony, you're going to love this.
I'm ready.
Who holds the record for most receptions and touchdowns by an offensive lineman?
What?
Philadelphia Eagles.
Is it him?
It's Mr. Todd Harriman's. He's got two touchdowns and three receptions. He's number one as an offensive lineman with 2 touchdowns.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yep. But like I said earlier, he's an advocate for medical use of cannabis, which he says can help reduce addiction to opioids among many NFL players. Harriman said he found cannabis to be an effective pain reliever while playing in the NFL prior to failing a drug test and discontinuing its use during his second season.
Whoops. Everybody gets one.
Right. And Mr. Harriman's is a member of the Athletes for Care, a group that advocates for athletes on various issues of health and safety, including the use of cannabis as medicine.
Interesting.
Mr. Todd Harriman's.
There you go. That's a good one.
Pay it forward, baby. I love it.
I also think that, like, I want an athlete to come out and be like, I am here to advocate for the responsible use of cannabis as just a righteous thing to do when you get home from work. Like, sure. Doesn't got to be pain management. I just want the right for Americans to smoke a blunt in their own fucking house.
Right.
It's America. Hell yeah. All right. So that's 79. Let's come back. We've got the hottest takes coming up. We're going to go over some gambling stuff first. So we'll be back in a second. And goodbye.
We're back.
6 weeks after our suspension is served for gambling in the Ford field.
This is some bullshit, by the way. Like, Jameson Williams just got suspended today for gambling on not football because he was at the Lions practice field as sponsored by Caesar's Palace.
He was on their
Yeah, I know. I get it. But them's the rules. Like, if this NFL says you can't bet on football and you can't bet at their facilities, wait till you're at home to go bet on horses or whatever the hell you're betting on.
Like, just text and drive.
Why you gotta put in a bet, you know, right after practice when you know it's wrong.
Dude, you know that, dude, I don't even know, because the wording when they said what he did was like, all right, so he bet on a game that wasn't the NFL, which is good. But he did it on our internet, which is
bad. Yeah. But you know what? These guys make shitloads of money, and they got people talking out their ear all day, lawyers and stuff like that. Someone would have had to say, or his agent would have had to say, hey, you can bet on FanDuel, do whatever you want. Just can't do it in the facility, and you can't bet on football. Like, 2 simple rules. Like, I would I would like to think that these agents are telling their players this.
But that probably happens after the fact, right? Like, I don't think you're going to... Like, how often do you think their agent talks to their player, right? Like, I don't think it's like a weekly meeting of like, hey, here's the rules again, right? I think it's like a, oh, fuck. Like, the agent in this instance, to me, is like just doing damage control.
Right, but if the NFL puts out a statement saying, here's the rules, there was at least one phone call from that agent to the person.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But, you like, know. You know these kids, they have fucking brain damage. You think they can remember when they signed their NFL contract last year to be like, oh, yeah, rule number 37 is I can't do this.
And yeah, I also think right. that, like, we can admit that, like, is gambling on the Wi-Fi at your work the best idea? No. But
no.
If your work gets billions of dollars from these gambling sites, is it a stupid rule? Yes. If you're not betting on football, I don't fucking care. In fact, I'm going to say,
that's a good point, Tony.
Like, this, you can break a rule by doing something stupid, but that doesn't change the fact that the rule itself is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In fact, I want to put this take out here into the universe. I think that you should be allowed to bet on your own team as long as you only bet on your team to win.
Yes.
I've always agreed with you on that. Like, why should you be penalized? It's more incentive for you to try harder.
No shit, right? Like, there's no competitive advantage there.
Like, can you imagine like the huddle where like Tom Brady's coming in, he's like, Guys, I bet on us to win this game, so we're gonna win right now.
I mean, I'm
like,
sure that happens already. Let's just
do this.
Yeah, but like, how is that any different than them putting Gronk in a game that they're winning to have him run three more routes to get 50 more yards to get $1 million, right? Like, right. How is that any different? It's like it's right. positive coercion of like, hey, we're all trying to get paid here. This is just in a context of like, oh, we can't make the sponsors mad. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
MGM's mad. Like, well, fuck that. There's going to be 10 other fucking people who are going to sit here and sponsor you. Get some Bud Light on here with some flags, and let's drink some beer.
Well, I feel bad for JMO and fuck the NFL. So let's look at these odds, all right? Because I kind of want to talk about the odds. This is our last show before the draft starts. When we record next week, the round one will be in the books, and we will be in the midst of round two and three. And so let's see what we can glean from some of these lines. And I'm looking at the number one overall pick odds, y'all. This is this turned into a runaway real fast.
Yeah. -1100 for Bryce Young.
And with Stroud and Richardson Stroud at +800 and Richardson at +2500, that's nuts.
I'm tempted to put like a dollar on Stroud.
I have money on Stroud right now.
Will Levis 4,500. Let's go.
Yep. Do you guys think that Young goes to is the first pick to Carolina?
Well, that's part of one of my hot takes. So we can get to that later.
I love it. You don't even have Carolina. That's so fucking funny.
I think we all pick teams we don't have.
So I was watching a Brett Coleman video today on edge rushers, and he was saying that there's a good chance Tyree Wilson gets drafted before Will Anderson.
I mean, that's what happened last year, right? With Walker, right? Like, he wasn't not the number one projected defensive lineman.
Yep. So them having plus odds for number two, Anderson and Wilson at +250. I actually put a few bucks on Wilson today just in case.
Yeah. Do you think? I honestly think it's going to go quarterback.
I do too, but I think since I don't have a great feel, like Bryce Young looks like, I mean, he's clearly the Vegas favorite, but I'm still not sold on it. So that I feel so much more chaotic about one that two feels like a crapshoot to me.
Well, I mean, look at like the betting line here. It's Will Anderson +250, Tyree Wilson +250, Will Levis +270. Like,
right.
Those are all the same odds, right?
Yep.
Basically, yeah. That basically shows that Vegas, it's a crapshoot. They don't really know who's going to be the...
Yeah, which we could see.
They're just giving you odds to where you got to put a lot of money down to make a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just put a dollar... I mean, you could. You could put a dollar down to win 250 if you want. But they're trying to rope in bigger bettors with those kind of odds.
Right. Well, like Tony was saying too, how this might structure the fantasy implications if we're not seeing a quarterback go at two, right? If we're seeing this weird quarterback stumble of quarterback going the next at four, right? Like, what is that? What's the implication for fantasy? Is this super flex league? Like, do these quarterbacks have the same amount of warts that we think they have compared to like they're all these top end talents?
I think it'll be really interesting to see. I don't think. I still think four quarterbacks go in the top 10.
Right. That's why I was saying earlier. That's such a Vegas line for how many quarterbacks will go in the first round. They set it at 4.5. We all know it's going to be four.
Well, so it's Hendon Hooker, right?
Yeah, he's the wild card.
So yeah. Hendon Hooker is the wild card. And, I mean, you got enough teams with two first rounders. Seattle could do it. Detroit could do it. I heard Washington today as a potential place.
There's also later picks too, right? Like the Vikings or New Orleans. Minnesota. Like they can exercise that fifth-year option by trading a late-end pick as opposed to like unless Seattle uses their second and a first.
Yep. I saw something today where the Vikings traded up to like to 10 to get
pretty sure it was Richardson. I think that's
yeah, it was Richardson. It was Richardson. Yeah.
Oh man, that fucking rules. I'm not gonna lie to you. That fucking rules. But like that team, I'm telling you, I've said this 1,000 times during this whole pre-draft process. The Minnesota Vikings are the reason Isaiah Hodgins is a thing. He had his two best games against Minnesota. And like that should tell you all you need to know about Minnesota's pass defense.
They lost players too, didn't they?
They did. They lost Patrick Peterson.
Who was like their best defensive player.
Right. And they lost the linebacker. So like we've talked about Quentin Johnson to Minnesota. We've talked about Jordan Addison to Minnesota. There's no way Minnesota does not go defense in the first round.
Okay. So we'll talk about in the next pick, right? So the draft for total of number of wide receivers drafted in round one. Over plus 370 of 4.5 or under for minus 600 of under 4.5.
Yeah, there's no way more than four receivers are going in the first round of this draft. Look at those odds, minus 600.
Yeah. I mean, you're putting $100 down to win what, 60 or six?
I think it's like six.
Let's see.
No, it's like 60.
If I put $100 down, I'd win $16.67.
That's so ugly. Yeah. So then I'm looking at some other lines that I think are interesting. The line for running backs drafted in round one is 1.5. Yeah, that seems like an easy underplay, but it's minus 360, so Vegas is smart.
Right.
I actually think this is interesting. Tight ends drafted in round one is at 2.5. I thought it'd be 1.5. Do you think two is the magic number? Does Kincaid go in the first round?
I think he goes in the first round. It's honestly, dude, it's very confusing because
I think Mayer and Kincaid could potentially both go in the first round.
I think we're going to get a sleeper, not for fantasy purposes, but for an NFL purpose of Darnell Washington, right? Like we've been saying, I don't want him in fantasy, but I think for a football team to pay a tight end to do an O lineman's job and be able to be a receiving threat at the later end of the first, I think is a move that wouldn't surprise me.
Sure.
Yeah.
One bet I'm just looking at now that I like is, which is Vegas is kind of split on right now is, Bijan Robinson's draft position. They have it at 12.5. The juice is on the over at minus 128, but that's not a lot of juice. So the under is minus 104. So,
I kind of like the under. I'm starting to fall for Bijan to Atlanta.
Don't take my hot take. Don't take my hot take.
Okay.
It's foreshadowing.
Let's see. So, yeah, don't kick me out, FanDuel. I was just the same degenerate I was 10 minutes ago when I logged in.
You didn't bet any money, Tony.
Yeah. That's true. Dalton Kincaid's draft position, the over is 24.5. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Jackson Smith and Jigba, the line is 12.5. You can get plus 205 for the under What do you think about that?
I don't know.
But you'd have to think he'd go like, what, 10, 11, or 12. So I don't see 10, 11, or 12. I don't see those teams having the need to grab him. But
Tennessee could grab him. We talked about it last week. Tennessee
could grab him.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I could see an argument that Seattle. Is that crazy?
They could trade up, yeah.
I mean, they have five. They have pick five, too. Yeah.
You know what I do like, though? Michael Mayer at 21.5. Because I've seen a couple mock drafts where he goes to the Bengals, and I think Bengals have 24. Or no, Jags have 24. Bengals have...
27?
Yeah. So I could see that. I like that line.
He is the first... tight end to be taken on this bet list. Michael Mayer, yep. Minus 175, Kincaid plus 130.
We've got Quentin Johnson's line at 26.5 and then Zay Flowers at 22.5. I'm not going to lie to you. Zay Flowers under 22.5 at plus 140 is something I kind of like with LA at 21, with Seattle at 20. Zay Flowers has been Tyler Lockett comped like forever.
Yeah.
Well, then you might like Zay Flowers' first wide receiver drafted at plus 600.
It's not going to happen. It's Jackson Smith and Jigba for sure. But I think so? Yeah, I'm going to put a couple bucks on Flowers under 22.5 right now. Just because. Let's see. I love these odds to be a top five pick. Tyree Wilson, just a lock at minus 250. Like, that's because the top of the draft, I feel like Vegas thinks right now that Houston goes defense.
I mean, if we're talking about earlier, if the quarterbacks slip, right, and they can grab a quarterback at 12 or use a second and a first to move up two positions to number 10, like, it's possible. It's scary as a fantasy player, but it's possible.
Dude, right? Guys, plus 1900, like I was talking earlier, like I was saying that mock draft I saw, if Minnesota trades up to 10 to grab Anthony Richardson, it's plus 1900.
Wow.
I kind of like
the juice is on Tennessee at plus 200.
But that's crazy to me that they think he's going to fall to 11. That's interesting.
Yeah, you got Tennessee, Vegas, Indy, Seattle, and then Minnesota is the fifth-ranked team in that tier. You also got Detroit, Houston. Atlanta's not going to draft a quarterback.
No, they might. They're going to trade for a quarterback.
Foreshadowing.
But
yeah, so I think these are cool. I'm excited to see...
There's so many things you could bet on. Oh my God.
Yep.
All right, JMO, you're free now. So bet on whatever you want. You're not in the building anymore.
Yeah. All right. So do we want to hop to and get to our takes before my computer dies?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's fine. We had 11 teams, so I'm assuming these are going to be pretty short, right?
Yeah. Well, so I was thinking we could go, this is our 420 spectacular, pardon my gummy extravaganza. Brought to you by Barstool, but not actually Barstool because fuck Barstool. Special. Air horns. And so we'll go round robin. We have all the teams assigned, and we have a gummy take for each one. We are not to be held accountable for any of this unless it comes true, in which case we knew all along.
Some of them could be.
Yeah, and then you can say that I bet you and you owe me money.
Right, so let's do it in the order that we did our numbers. So we'll go Ryan first, Shane second, I'll go third.
Okay, let's start with... I just went in with the order. I'm going with the Broncos first. Get this, guys. Russell Wilson is back, all right?
Okay.
He is going to be on track this year for 4,500 yards and 30-plus touchdowns.
Jared Goff
and
numbers,
the Broncos will finish over 500.
We're starting hot today. There's no foreplay here. We're going.
Look at that take. That's Wilson insane. Is back. I really hope that Denver gets back on track. They've got the weapons. They just they need should, to get man. It together.
Maybe more competition.
But yeah, that's my take on the Broncos.
All right, Shane, what do you got?
We're sticking with the AFC West. We're getting wild. The Raiders trade Devontae Adams to San Francisco for Trey Lance straight up so he can sit behind Handsome James for the third year in a row. And the
Raiders damn.
And the Raiders take 107.
That's buck-ass
or,
wild.
Or sorry, the Raiders take JSN. Oh, no, the Raiders, sorry, I'm the gummy's hitting really hard. The Raiders trade 107 to Tennessee who take Will Levis. The Raiders use 111 to get Peter Skoronski and take a defensive end in the second to shore up their depth issues.
Damn. Handsome
James. A lot of moving pieces in that trade.
I'm saying. Okay, so I have Carolina. I am going to go ahead and say right now that Adam Thielen has at least 10 weeks of top 12 wide receiver production in 2023.
Oh, shit. I think Chris Berman just crapped his pants.
So, Donna Thielen.
In your take... you have your quarterback.
No. Independent of quarterback.
All right. That's really good.
All right. So this is going along with the horrible person narrative. So we're going to talk about the Browns. Guess what's going to happen this year, guys?
Deshaun Watson gets hit by a bus.
The Browns are paying Deshaun Watson all this money, and he's going to play three games and then have a season-ending injury.
This is an auditory format, but my hands are up. I'm putting my energy into this one.
Here we go.
I like it too.
Yeah, it's never cool to root for injuries unless it's Deshaun Watson.
That's right.
All right, speaking of pieces of shit, I got the Commies next. Mine are kind of like a bookend thing, as it coincides with the following team that I have, but my take right now for the Commies is... after Atlanta trades for Lamar and the Commanders realize how bad the chicken nugget commander of Sam Howell is, they trade for Taylor Heinicke again to be their starting quarterback, where he leads Jahan Dotson to be a top 15 finish, where they are on the cusp of a wild card entry, but Riverboat Ron once again forgets the season ends on week 17 and poor game plans. After the clock hits zero on the time clock, Dan Snyder enters the stadium in a blimp, but his drone strike down before the boat assault can begin.
All right, I need to gather my thoughts after that one. Mine's short and sweet. It is what it is. I have the Chicago Bears next. Within the next two seasons, Justin Fields wins NFL MVP.
I like it. No, I love it.
I just saw Wally take your skin off.
Right.
And put him back on.
I think Wally just group chatted us.
Yeah, right?
He heard Justin Fields and woke up from his nap.
It's like a field sense with
him. Bat call.
Someone said Justin Fields.
All right, Ryan, bring it on.
All right, so this is what I didn't want to spoil earlier. The Texans, all right? They're going to get Bryce Young with the second pick.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Carolina's not going to take them.
Okay.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, that was a very normal take, but yeah, I'm on board with that one.
Yeah.
It's my go, right?
Yeah.
Let's go. Bring it on. Oh, yeah.
All right. I got the Falcons. So in line with my 79 for this week, the Falcons get another Pro Bowl caliber running back. Atlanta drafts Bijan at 8. Those are the good old days when RB was taking top 10. Then, immediately after they pick Bijan, they trade their 24 and 25 for Lamar, winning the NFC South. Bijan finishes as a top 10 RB with 1,500 all-purpose yards, and like our boy Hunter said, Kyle Pitts finishes with tight end one based purely on touchdowns.
Oh, that's so good. That's so juicy. Like I have something that's piping hot here. I have Philadelphia next. So, the Eagles... Rashad Penny ends the year as a top 12 running back in fantasy points per game.
Really?
Rashad Penny.
Interesting. It's not Jason Kelce. It's just 3 touchdowns and breaks the Philadelphia Eagles all-time lineman receiving record.
No. We respect tradition in this house.
Fair enough.
All right, Ryan.
You're going to love this. So this is going on. This is going on the Giants right now. All right. The shell of a man, Darren Waller, will only play 4 games this year. And guess who's going to catch 6 or more touchdowns? Daniel Waller.
He's like Big Bad Vader, bro.
Avatar.
Vader.
I was so upset when I heard Waller was going to the Giants. But just in true Waller fashion, he's not going to play most of the year.
Like OPJ, dude. It's all hype. Don't worry about it.
Ryan's going to fly a fucking Goodyear blimp into a stadium. into
right. Waller. That is, oh my God. That's, yeah.
All right, let's end it there. All right, Shane.
All right, I got the Steelers. Mike Tomlin leads the Steelers to another +500 season, but fails to enter the playoffs yet again due to Matt Canada being one of the most unoriginal offensive coordinators in recent history, and keeps his job through 2024, where they take another wide receiver in the second round to replace Deontay as he walks, and they continue Groundhog Day forever.
Yep, they're in hell. They're in hell. They will live in that hell forever. I have the Rams next. Cooper Kupp traded after the draft for next year. The Houston Texans, who are trying to surround their rookie quarterback with as much talent as possible.
It's the tattoo parlay, baby. Hit it.
Cooper Kupp.
All right. Well, I got a hot take for the Super Bowl this year. And this team is one of them. We'll get to the other one later. But guess who's winning the AFC Championship this year? The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Takes the fattest crack of a cigarette, dude. Fattest crack of a cigarette. That. It's a man of confidence. I love it.
That's right. That is right.
I got the
Pats. Who do they beat in the AFC Championship, Ryan?
Buffalo.
I love that.
It's a take.
That would be so sick.
All right, I got the pass.
I'm gonna call it right now, and so we have it on record. 33-30.
All right.
Tyler Bass chokes it because he just got paid.
Coward.
All right, so the Pats break their wide receiver curse by drafting highly touted prospect JSN by trading up to 12 with the Texans, and he actually pays off in the first round with Mac Jones to be a QB2 as he's free with Matt Patricia forever.
I like that one. It's optimistic. Hopeful.
I want to see him gritty again.
I got a weird one here. The Colts will draft Will Levis, who I mentioned this last week, will win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. The Colts will not make the playoffs this year, but they will make it to the AFC Championship game in 2024.
Nice. All right, so guess who else is going to be in the Super Bowl this year?
Uh-oh. All
right. Guess who is going to win the NFC Championship? Now, take in mind, I wrote this down before the news we got earlier today.
Are you predicting a Detroit Lions?
The Detroit Lions versus the Jaguars in the Super Bowl, and it will be the least viewed Super Bowl in all Super Bowls.
That is the gummiest take I've ever heard.
That is right.
I would love that. I would fucking love it.
Yeah, I would freaking love it, yeah. It'd be awesome. There's a lot of talent on both sides, especially to see who these guys get in the draft.
Amon-Ra going to go for 3,000 yards this year to make that fucking happen.
Right.
All right, so I got the Chargers. Much of the expectation set forward by previous years of disappointment, we pass on an actual good wide receiver. We go corner in the first, draft from their running back in the third that gets sent to the Shadow Realm. We lose 4 in a row and have Kellen Moore take over as head coach by week 11 as Brandon Staley's fired, and we get bounced from the playoffs in the first round yet again to pick at one of the worst draft positions in 2024.
Oh my God.
Actually, that's... We'll talk. I got some thoughts on who's going to be one of the worst in the league in 2024. But my team is the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm going to go on record. I don't even think this is a hot take right now. I believe that the Seattle Seahawks will have the number one defense in football in 2023. And I believe one of their 2 first-round picks will net them the Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Oh, shit.
Jalen Carter at 5. Could it be? Maybe Van Ness at 18.
Yeah.
I'm all right. In on Seattle's draft after last year, so we're going for it.
Here's a hot take on the Bengals. Guess who the Bengals are going to pick up in the draft? They're not only going to get Michael Mayer, they're also going to get Zach Charbonnet.
Ooh.
How do you stop that offense?
Fuck a defense. Ooh.
60 points given Ooh. Up. 75 Man. Points scored.
Right?
That would be nuts. That would be nuts. The Cincinnati landing spot, I think, is just going to be so interesting for fantasy.
Right, yeah.
All right, Shane?
I got the AFC again, the rivals of... Oh, no, I guess the Bills are now the rivals of the Bengals. Anyways, I got the Chiefs. The Empire shall not be defeated, and the Chiefs repeat as Super Bowl champions in 2024, which drums up the wild reactionary takes all offseason of Brady versus Mahomes for the title of the greatest of all time.
I mean, I don't even think that one's too spicy. I have Tampa Bay. I'm going to turn up the heat here on this discourse. The Bucks trade for Trey Lance on draft night and end up winning the division.
Interesting.
Suck it.
So here's...
Sorry, Shane and your fucking Baker.
Hey, I'm only tied to him for a fourth round pick. He's literally trash. I don't give a shit.
Sure.
So we all saw that weird Tom Brady interview this week where he just talked about the Dolphins. Like, I got all these friends on the Dolphins, blah, blah, blah. And I asked about it. Tom Brady is going to play for the Dolphins this year. Calling it right now.
I still have him on a dynasty roster.
Tua is going to retire.
Is it because he didn't remember that he said he wasn't going to retire? So he's
it's because he doesn't remember anything. And even when you play back his words, it's like he's got Alzheimer's. He just won't remember
poor
it.
Tua.
Rest up, King. All right, I got more NFC. Not NFC, I got more Southern. So the Saints draft Hendon Hooker at the end of the first round, where he ends up starting after week 13 when the Saints are out of playoff contention. And people lose their minds when he throws three touchdowns to Chris Olave and he starts the conversation of being a top 15 quarterback asset in Dynasty Superflex.
Oh, shit.
At 25 years old, he's mature.
I think he's 27 when he's going to play.
Right? So I have Buffalo next. This one starts normal and takes a wild twist. Josh Allen is still the fantasy quarterback one this season, but the Bills don't make the playoffs.
Oh, shit.
I see it.
Damn. All right, so let's talk. These next three teams that I did are kind of all kind of round robin, kind of intertwined with my predictions. But let's talk about the Packers, all right?
Okay.
Rodgers most likely is not going to be playing for the Packers next year. I know Tony disagrees with me. But guess what the Packers are going to do in the draft because they don't have Rodgers. And, you know, Rodgers always wants, you know, something they've never supported, Rodgers. So they're going to draft two top 10 wide receivers and Darnell Washington.
Oh, shit. I love that. And Jordan Love manages to suck.
Yep.
It happens. All right, so I got the Cardinals. Buda Baker's traded. DeAndre Hopkins is cut. Kyler doesn't play the entire season, so Arizona goes 0-17. Once the blood curse of Joe Arpaio is finally over, the Arizona Cardinals finally make a turnaround of their dogshit franchise and make the playoffs in 2024.
Damn, a quick reset for the Cardinals. Okay, I like a fast turnaround here.
Arizona's cursed. Once they get rid of Joe Arpaio, it all go away.
All right, so let's also talk bottom of the 2024 NFL draft. I'm going to tell you right now, Tennessee walks out of this year's draft with a top three rookie quarterback. And the team who gets their 2024 first in their move up will get a top five pick because Tennessee will absolutely suck ass this season.
Marvin Harrison, come on down. See, they tie into the Cardinals. The Cardinals will get Marvin Harrison from that trade. See, and then they make the playoffs.
Perfect. And Brock Bowers.
We're writing the script right now.
All right, Ryan.
All right, let's talk about the Jets. All right. My prediction is that the Jets don't get the business done and they don't get Rodgers because they don't want to give their first round 13th overall pick to the Packers. All right. So, with that first round pick at 13, instead of taking Rodgers, they're taking one of those top four quarterbacks.
God, that'd be so fucking great.
Yeah, I'd be all about that.
And just to round it out with my final team, the 49ers, Rodgers is going to start for the 49ers this year.
Oh, yes.
Just what because I think there's a lot of incentive for the 49ers to think about that fact. You pick up Rodgers, he's 39 years old, right? All right, he's got a little bit of gas left in the tank. But you don't really need him to do that much except, you know, run the offense and might not even have to pass that much. With Shanahan's offense, you got McCaffrey. You're going to be running most of the time. What better veteran to have on that running that offense than Aaron Rodgers and San Francisco potentially making a good run in the playoffs?
It's a Brady situation, right? He's in the best position to succeed for one season. That's all you need him to do is just one season.
Exactly.
They can take that. I don't know what their cap situation is, but if they can.
It's the NFL. You can make anything work.
They can pull it off.
Right.
That's pretty normal.
I really think that's a really good prediction.
All right. I like that.
What if the Jets are stupid enough to give away 13th pick to Green Bay and Green Bay takes another quarterback?
That'd be bonkers.
I mean, I could see that too, but like, at this point, like with how this is dragged out, the Jets obviously aren't willing to give up that 13th overall.
Or they panic. Because
that's what Green Bay wants.
Yeah. All right. So I'll go mine back to back again. So I got the Vikings. This is probably my most normal take. The Vikings break their curse of disappointing their fans to actually draft defense and solidify their weakest part of their team. Hawkinson ends up as tight end one, and the Vikings win the NFC North.
I like Hawkinson this year. That's. Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Because they can't draft a receiver and the free agents suck. Right. So it's like what other choices are there. Alright, final one. The Ravens. So the Ravens embrace the tank after getting Atlanta's 24 and 25 firsts for trading Lamar Jackson away to compete with Arizona in a race for 101 and 24.
Where did Lamar Jackson go?
Atlanta.
Oh.
It's all tied in. This is my Shane verse of football next year. All right, so Odell Beckham Jr. plays three games where he gets 450 yards and four touchdowns. Dynasty managers do the dumbest shit and blow multiple seconds in that time frame to accrue him. And then the following week, he gets injured and retires.
Yep. That's exactly how I would see it out playing, Shane. I agree with you 100%.
So I have Dallas last. Dallas drafts Michael Mayer, who shreds expectations for rookie tight ends and is the NFC Pro Bowl tight end this season.
Whoa. Dallas is going to draft Michael Mayer with the potential shot and Hendershot and Ferguson?
I'm going to go ahead, Ryan, and I'm going to say that Michael Mayer is better than both Peyton Hendershot and Jake Ferguson.
Oh, I understand that and agree with you completely, but...
Top take for a reason, baby.
I guess I see it. Yeah, could happen.
So I feel good about what we've accomplished here today. That's a very 420 friendly round table. So next week will be a very special episode. I don't even know if we should do our guys.
No, I think we should
do a draft special, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Can you believe it? We're already here. It's already been 4 months. The draft is next fucking week. Like Ryan said, dude, it you blink and it's here.
Yep. There it is.
Dude, so, it's almost August. Like, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only four more months.
We'll come at you live from the draft next week on tape and edited. But I look forward to it. So then until next week, guys, I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, very good episode, guys.
Be well. Don't fall for the bait in these next 6 days.
Yeah, please. Please, just try to enjoy life. Good night. Yes.
Good night.
Think he made it to heaven?